Hey, everybody. Welcome to Making Good Choices with Amber L. Carter. I'm your host, Amber L. Carter. And this is our very first episode, and our very first podcast guest is Lacey Klamer, one of my closest friends and a professional from the Northwoods of Wisconsin. We talk a lot about dating and relationships in this episode, which, if you know me, really isn't that unusual. You can find this and other great podcasts on mathishard.net and also on iTunes. Thanks for listening, and please enjoy Making Good Choices, Episode 1. Lacey, why don't you tell us some things about yourself?
Let's see. I'm 26, almost 27, living in the world's smallest town.
It's really not, but it just feels that way.
And I try to make good life choices, but typically they're bad. Right now, I'm probably trying to work through the whole don't screw your neighbor type of deal.
Hey, yeah. It's a good tip.
Turns out he's there all the time.
So Lacey lives in this apartment, and she's had this, like, on again. Well, it's been a pretty constant, like, flirtation. We'll just call him. We don't need to use names.
Right.
But it's been a pretty constant flirtation with this guy. And what was it, like, earlier this summer? It was the beginning of summer, right?
Yeah.
That he moved in right next door to her, which I started laughing.
That was hilariously. The text message I couldn't believe I was getting. Which is funnier yet, because I'm sitting at a table with the guy I was currently dating,
right.
And I get a text message from him. He's like, "Hey, I'm moving in next door." Well, there goes the neighborhood. So
yeah, so that's been really fun.
So yeah, it's been interesting. He is, he's a personality that. He's so much fun. We have such a good time together that he's probably one of my most favorite people to hang out with ever.
Yeah,
but
he's a blast.
At the same time, he has such an immense case of Peter Pan syndrome.
Yep.
I can't even deal. Because I have a hard time, I think you see this, I have a hard time balancing with the fact that, like, I'm pretty career driven. I have a really good job. I work really hard. And I've done a lot for being 26, like, career wise.
A lot.
But I still am in that kind of party, have a really good time mode. So it's a hard time for me to mix those together. So the personalities that I find are either going to be completely dry or they're going to be life of the party, which I love the life of the party, but the problem with the life of the party is they're always looking for the next party.
Right. They don't want to get down to business.
Right. Yeah. Right. And it doesn't have to be all business, but at some point.
Well, yeah, I think it's interesting to try to find, because I think, like, you are 26, this is the perfect time for you to go out and have fun. But I think too, there comes a time where, like, you want the combination of, like, I still want to go out, I still want to have a blast, but I also want somebody who, like, actually wants to, like, be a partner in that, in that party, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, instead of, like, it's all business, let's settle down and get married and have kids, but, like, yeah, I don't know. It just, it gets wearing after a while to always run into the same guys that, like, they're still in full, like, party all the time mode. Which can be really fun when you want to have, when you want to go out and you want to make out and, like, all this other stuff. But
when you want to be serious, it's
when you want something more. Yeah,
it's a little self-sabotaging, I'm sure. If we look at my history of,
I think you're still learning a lesson. Like, I think you're still in the middle of, like, learning something really important about you and something really important about the guys that you tend to go for.
Yeah. So, anyways, he's been gone for the last week, which has been great. It's a good break.
And that's a nice break. But I want to ask you this question, though, because I just came up, I just thought about this. So, but it's interesting because, so you had a boyfriend earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny to me to look at, like, Party Boy, I'm just going to call him Party Boy J. Party Boy J.
You have to tell
and
him
then,
that.
And then the G rant.
Yes.
Like, they're not the same at all.
No, they're,
like,
completely.
One is super fun, super sociable, super, like,
there's nobody that meets him that does not like
a
him.
A billion friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, always. Everywhere he goes, somebody knows him and somebody likes him. Whereas on the other side, a little bit more introspective, brooding. Definitely a brooder.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm getting started on the brooding.
Yeah. So, like, that's interesting to me that, like, that's, like, the business side of the relationship for you, which, I mean, and it didn't work out very well anyways, but, like, yeah, that's interesting is that, like, here's the one, and you tend to have, like, a lot of J party boy types.
I do. I do. But I think, too, because, like, you know, hanging out Saturday night with a, let's just call him Mr. Deputy.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Mr. Deputy. God, I have a lot of names. I feel like we're Sex in the City.
And they're all gingers. They're all gingers except for G-Rant.
I have to think of bearded ginger men. So if you're bearded and ginger, let me know. There's a real good chance I'll like you.
Lacey and I share the love for the redheaded men.
So anyways, hanging out with him was like that thing of realizing why it never worked out. Like why we could never make it work to actually date. Because he is that business side. Again, there's no like letting loose. Yeah, he's out at the bar, but
yeah,
he is there to carefully observe everything that's going on.
Yeah, and he's not exactly what I would call a ball of fun.
Well, it's funny though, because he knew that he was kind of getting you riled up, so he's pushing your buttons a little bit.
Yeah,
and that's what he does, like in general,
which is like annoying,
right?
People don't like that. That's not the life of the party.
No, you don't like that.
I have my own personal feelings towards G-Rant.
Which is why he was doing that.
That's fine. Whatever.
But no, it's fine.
That's interesting. It's really tough, though. I think, like, the party boys are the hardest ones to let go of. Mm-hmm. Because I think, like, beyond everything else, it's the amount of fun that you can have with somebody. Right. It's, like, the amount of times that, like, not to sound cheesy, but it's like the amount of times that you guys laugh together. Like right. Those are the things that like stick. Like with me and like my ex, like that's one of the things where like whenever I have like memories or something is recalled, like those are the things where I'm like, oh, yeah. Kind of miss that guy. Not enough, but kind of miss like those fun moments.
That's hard. You know, because then like Party Boy Jay, I mean, he has his moments where we'll talk till 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about serious stuff.
Yeah.
And there's that side to him, but he doesn't know how to get from point A to point B, and I cannot.
No, he doesn't, and it's so weird because like you feel like he should have figured that out.
And I know he wants it because you know he sees like his other friends growing up, getting engaged, doing all these kinds of things, and I know he wants that. He's told me so many times that he wants to have a family and he wants children and all this stuff. But
it's kind of like giving up smoking though too, where it's like I want to quit smoking, but like the things that, and I'm not talking personally for me because like I'm done with smoking, but. Like when you want to quit smoking, but the things that like made you want to smoke in the first place are really hard to kind of like cut. Yeah. So it's like, I want a family and I want kids, but the things that keep me in party mode are really hard to be like, no, no guys, I got to settle down.
And I mean, he's come leaps and bounds.
Yes.
And you've known him longer than I have. Yeah. But I mean, if I think about the last year and a half and like the girl after girl after girl after girl.
3 years ago, he was incoherent.
Yeah.
Like, no matter when I saw him, it was just like, you couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll get there, but who's got the time to wait? And who's
nobody.
I'm the one that should be waiting for him?
Nobody.
Who knows? Nobody knows.
You guys are really fun together, though. That's really frustrating to see that from a friend's perspective of, like, two people who have so much fun together, and you can tell that they have so much chemistry, but it's those, like, situational things that are keeping them apart. Like, that's really tough. Timing is everything, though, isn't it? Which is bullshit.
Tommy is a bitch and a half, and I hate her.
That's right.
You're tacky, and I hate you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's fun.
So that's Party Boy Jay. So then I decided, what else did I do? Oh, my other really good life choice this week. You're going to laugh at me. So I drank a bottle of wine at home, because why not?
Right. I did that, too.
That's what single girls on a Tuesday night do. So Tuesday night, I drank a bottle of wine at home, and I was like, you know what? Let's just try this match.com. Let's just see what's out there. So I've been doing that now, too.
Oh, you have?
I have.
Okay. How's it been going?
Dude, there's a lot of really gross men around here.
I don't think I can do that again. Well, like, maybe when I move down to Minneapolis, but up here, you can't. Like, there's nobody.
Well, here's the deal. I'm like, dude, you're 49. I am 26.
That's gross.
What the hell?
No.
You're the same age as my mom.
Like, 49 would be hard for me, and I'm 35.
But to stop friending me and winking at me and liking me.
That's disgusting.
But yeah.
See, I'm immediately suspicious of guys that old who like go for like the girls in their 20s. It's like you are not interested in her personality or connecting on a soulful level. Like that is not what you're going for.
I have to. So I've matched and I have Tinder. I have to read you this Tinder conversation because it's so stupid. What is wrong with these boys?
I've started just like antagonizing them just to see who can.
So he says to me, he goes, holy moly, you're incredibly gorgeous. I'm like, all right, let's just see how this goes. I said, wow, well, thanks. He goes, you're welcome. He goes, what are you looking for? I said, looking for as in what?
The D.
He goes, from Tinder, like a relationship or fun? I said, unrealistically, a relationship dating. He goes, well, I'm in town just for the weekend, so I'm pretty sure you wouldn't be interested.
Nope.
I go, yeah, probably not. Have a good time.
Yeah.
And then he goes, well, I was trying until you denied me. And I said, I think you'll survive. There must be more Tinder action around here than just me. This is where it gets funny. He goes, yeah, but I'm very picky. You have that sweet, shy, innocent look, and that's a huge turn on for me.
Shut up.
So I go back, I go, so sweet, shy, innocent, and looking for a weekend hookup. You don't ask for much. Why would you think that?
Oh,
I'm...
Oh, my God.
I'm a genuine, loyal man and blatantly honest. I could have lied to you, but I didn't. Yes, kudos to you for not lying to me.
Seriously.
Thank you.
What a great guy that he didn't lie to you.
And I said, I'm like, well, thank you for not lying to me. That's fantastic. I said, I just had to give you shit about your observations, expectations. I don't know that you're going to get all those things in one person. And then I added, I don't know if I've ever been described in any of those words before. He goes, you're certainly adorable, but I won't bother you.
Good.
I said, thanks. Good luck in your search. He goes, if you change your mind, let me know. You might be
surprised
at what I'm packing.
You just said you weren't
going to
bother me.
No, did you hear that?
No.
You might be surprised at what I'm packing.
Are you fucking serious?
And then I let it go. I didn't continue on, but I feel like I should have.
I feel like guys say that with the expectation they're going to be like, oh, wait,
you have a big
never
dick?
Never mind.
That's fantastic. You better come over right now.
Let's do this. I guess I changed my mind. Did I tell you about that girl who has that Tumblr?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're like,
she gets the guys to...
For the listeners, I will link this on the podcast thing so you guys know, because I'm not going to waste time by trying to find it now. But so she is on Tinder and she basically just like antagonizes all the guys who message her. And she will like figure out ways for them to like give her their address. And in one, she like got a guy to give him his license plate and his make and model of the car. And she's like, these guys are idiots. Like, they'll do anything just to like for that promise or the expectation that like I'm gonna come over to their house and they're gonna get laid. It's amazing. It's like the most hilarious Tumblr ever.
I can't believe that men are struggling Tinder. That hard to get laid. Like, Party Boy Jay and I have had this conversation about Tinder, because he's seen my Tinder and he laughs at it. He goes, I don't think I ever would need that. Like, I could go to the bar and I could figure it out.
Yeah.
Even my most ridiculous friends could figure out how to go to the bar and get laid.
I don't get the mind perspective, because I think we both get this a lot from guys who come up here for like fishing or like bachelor parties. We're like, on Tinder, they'll reach out like with the expectation that like, I'm here for a week, let's get laid. Like, if there are girls out there that are like, I'm down, I would like to know about that, because there's no way I watch Law & Order SVU. Like, I'm not going to meet you at your hotel room to get laid from this perfect stranger who's just in town for a week. Like, that's the perfect recipe for a murder mystery.
Jessica Hargitay in some perilous situations.
Exactly. Which is like, well, this guy was up here for a bachelor party, was on Tinder and thought that he should get laid. So reached out to this local girl who decided to meet him at the Super 8. Like, how does that not end in rape and murder?
I don't know. That's and like, every bad Lifetime movie ever made.
But like, guys will approach you with like that. That's a perfectly like realistic scenario that you would be happy to participate in.
So somebody somewhere must be doing that, right?
I think so too. But I think it's more I don't think it's as common up here as it may be. Because I know like in Minneapolis, like on Craigslist, like you can totally find casual hookups. And like, if that's your deal, like go on with your bad self. I'm sex positive as anybody else. But like, I am so that person that I'm like, STDs, stranger danger, I don't know this person. Like, I just would never, plus like gross. Like, I don't know.
No. That's not for me.
No.
It wouldn't be my thing, but apparently somebody must be doing it somewhere, because.
Somebody must be. I mean, I'd like to require at least like a nice steak dinner before I give that up.
So like,
if you take me out on a
first.
Date and things are going well, then maybe.
But if I really like you, I won't sleep with you on the first date. God, how fucked up are these rules?
They make a lot of sense. I don't think I'm like that anymore, though. I know that like in my 20s, I used to make that choice all the time. And for me at the time, it was a really good choice of like, I am just not that person. Like, I don't bond sexually with people. Like, I don't have sex with a guy and then like I'm bonded to him and like I can't stop thinking about him. Like, for me, it's very much like a recreational activity that also satisfies a need, and then I can like go on with my day.
So you're so much more compartmentalized than I am, because that's my problem.
Yeah.
Sex, and then I fall into some feelings. Like, ugh, get it off me.
I don't fall into feelings unless I convince myself to fall into feelings. But I more so in like, if I'm dating a guy, then I will fall into feelings. But if like I've had friends with benefits, I've had like not one night stand, I've had like one, but like I've had like dates where I'm like, I really don't really have any interest in seeing you again, but you're really hot and like, so let's do that. And I'm always really safe in those scenarios. I don't think I would do that anymore. Not at all. Cause I just feel like if I'm, my head is where like I am interested in having a relationship with somebody. Mm-hmm. So I feel like sleeping around sends mixed signals to the universe about like wanting to do that. But I still can do it. Like, I've done it, and I know that I still have the capacity to, like, sleep with somebody and then be done with it. So, yeah.
Good for you. I learned the hard way. I can control the
city from Malbec Dumps. I'm going to sleep with you and be done with you.
Easy there, man-eater. You got those goddamn leather pants on again, don't you?
Those leather pants are the best thing I've ever.
I swear to Christ, they make you a vixen. Mm-hmm. They also make you 10 decibels louder.
Maybe. Lacey and I had, I think, okay, so for listeners that don't already know this, although if you're listening to this podcast, I find it hard to believe that you don't, but so I'm on this thing called Candida Overgrowth Protocol. So what it means is that my eating life is incredibly boring. Basically, all I can really do is like vegetables and lean meats and like Greek yogurt and stuff like that. So no carbs, no sugar. And I had a really bad summer with it where like I didn't stick to it. All this other stuff happened. And then in September, I started doing it again. And I kind of went on a drinking ban too. And then I think like 2 weeks ago?
Whatever Fat Tire was.
Yeah, it was Fat Tire weekend. Cause that was the one thing where I'm like, number one, I'm moving. And number two, it's Fat Tire weekend. So like, I'm just going to take advantage of this and like go out with my friends. But I literally had like a glass of wine and stood up and I was already buzzed, which at that point I should have just been like, Amber, let's use some caution.
Which night was that, Friday or Saturday?
I think it was Friday night. Yeah, because we weren't with Andy and his friends that night. So yeah, and then Friday night we went out and I don't think I drank a ton. I just think that what I drank hit me because we went out to a bar. And there was a bunch of guys there that were there for the weekend, and they were really cute and really funny, and they're from Minneapolis. And at one point, I remember being handed a Ruppelmann shot, which was the worst choice I could have made that night because I don't do shots, and I especially effing don't do Ruppelmanns. So yeah, by the end of the night, apparently I was sitting on the bouncer stool by the door and yelling at Lacey that I wanted to go.
She was totally being the worst wingwoman ever, too, because I was talking up this guy who was really cute, and he's an archaeologist. I'm like, ooh, like Indiana Jones. I totally had this thing going. And then here's Amber Carter screaming from the bar, Lacey, let's go.
The lights were on. They wanted us to leave.
Well,
I didn't want to be rude.
You fall off your bar stool while you're sitting
there. I almost did.
She was like swinging around.
I remember like being so done that, okay, the cute guys, I remember them walking out and one of them being like, see you later, beautiful. And I remember just being like, I'm too drunk to even respond. Like, shut up, go. Like,
I couldn't even. Those guys were hot though.
They were hot. Oh. They were, yeah. One was weird though. Like, so I was like kind of hitting it off with one of them. And we're talking, and his other friend came up, and, like, we're talking, and the other guy, like, poked me in my boob. Like, I don't know if he was testing it to see if it was real, or
it's
if he was
still
just being
not polite.
It was such a creepier moment. And I, like, kind of just, like, slapped his hand away. And then his friend was like, dude, you're being weird. Go away. And then later, like, I went back up to that, not the creeper guy, but the other one. He's like, I'm sorry that my friend was so weird. I'm like, that was weird. Like, it wasn't even, like... It was just, like, one of those weird moments where it's, like, I don't know what your objective is. Like, have you ever poked a girl in the boob and she's been, like, do it again?
Right.
You know? Like, it's probably not going to work out for you.
Nothing really gets us going, like, pokes in the boob.
Seriously. Like, they're real. You can just take my word for it.
Wow.
It's yeah.
None of his business.
It's really not. They're real and they're spectacular.
There you go.
So, yeah. So, that was a great choice that I made that one night. And I was wearing my leather leggings.
Yes, so I've decided that every night that she wears her leather leggings, she becomes a little bit sassier.
It's kind of like the chicken before the egg. Like, do I put on my leather pants because I know that I'm going to go out and get sassy, or do I go out and get sassy because I'm already wearing the leather?
I don't really think we have to qualify the statement. We just know that it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Because I don't think I'm really going to wear them for like a nice quiet inn with like a glass of wine.
Well, you'd look ridiculous sitting on your couch.
Well,
your
I wouldn't look that ridiculous.
Well, I mean.
I would look fine. But anyway, so but also with the ban on drinking. I've been pretty good about it, I feel. Maybe. Would you disagree?
Well, I mean, you're just a weekend warrior.
Yes. So, like, I went on this ban on drinking just because, like, it was it was making certain things worse for me in terms of, like, emotional stuff and all this other bullshit. So I kind of did this ban on drinking, but then I found out I was going to leave. I was going to move. So it was kind of this thing of, like, I'm not going to have these, like, moments or these nights out with you anymore. So frat tire was ridiculous. Like, that was dumb. That was like a black hole. And then, but I think like.
You're telling me Saturday night I kissed 3 boys.
You did.
Whoopsie-daisy.
Yes, you did. But I feel like when we went out last Saturday, I was pretty good. I woke up the next morning. I felt great. Yeah. I went on a little bit of a bender this week, but I think it was well deserved. So yeah, just to give the listeners background information. So I got news that, I don't want to say this without making it sound more serious than it is when like, it's whatever. So my ex-boyfriend is now engaged to the girl that he was having coffee dates with while we were still together. So that was news that I found out this week. I actually wasn't as upset about it as I thought it would be. Cause I feel like I'm pretty, mm-hmm. I've tied up everything that I need to tie up with that relationship. I think it was one of those things where it was like, that's interesting when like one of the reasons why we broke up was because you said that you didn't think you wanted to get married again or have more kids. And that was like a deal breaker for me. And now you're engaged. And also like the fact that I feel like there was some transparency issues when the relationship ended, when it came to his like working and hanging out with this girl. Mm-hmm. So, which, like, whatever, like, I wish them the best. Like, I'm sure it's become one of those things where it's, like, was meant to be and, like, everybody's happy and, like, she's probably totally amazing. He does have really good choices in girlfriends. Like, I'm now friends with one of his ex-girlfriends and, like, she's one of my BFFs. So, I will say that he has great taste in women. But, so that just kind of, I felt like, you know what? When you get that news, like, you are allowed to have, like, a glass of wine. So I had a couple, and then I texted you and I texted Jennifer, who is our mutual friend and my roommate, and I didn't hear from Jennifer like all night, and I was getting kind of mad. I was just like, why? Like, is she just ignoring me or like whatever? So then she comes home later that night and she's like, I didn't want to text you because she's like, we have to talk about this face to face. And I was like, well, I already started drinking. So we had this really long conversation about it, and yeah, it was good. It was one of those things where I knew that like, I'm like, you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to feel fine and it's going to be great and I'm not going to be upset about it. But like tonight, I feel like I just get like one night to just be like, this is bullshit. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everybody gets to wallow for at least a night.
Yes. You get one night.
One night of wallowing.
Yep. Yeah. So it always reminds me of that scene from like When Harry Met Sally when like she calls him up and she's like, hey. Like, mm-hmm. It's so true, though, because it's just like, you said you didn't want to get married, but you just didn't want to get married to me, which we had a previous conversation about this, mm-hmm. where, like, I just feel like if I could do a PSA for all the men of the earth, like, just say that in a relationship. Like, people change their mind, which is a point that you made that I think is very valid, where, like, sometimes you don't think you want to get married, and then you change your mind, and you do. But I just feel like a commonality that I hear from a lot of women is that a guy will say, I don't think I ever want to get married, which is a deal breaker for them. So then they leave that relationship. And then later they find like, no, he just didn't want to get married to me. Mm-hmm. So guys, just say it, because then you're not going to look like a douchebag later. And we're not going to hate you even more. Like, just be like, you know what? I just don't see it going this way with you. Like, I would much rather hear that and like have that sound harsher in the beginning, mm-hmm. than be like, no, it's over. There's no reconciliation because he never wants to get married, blah, blah, blah. And then have you get engaged to someone else down the line. Like, that makes you look like a douche. Whereas I feel like I would have more respect for you if you were just honest about it from the beginning.
Yeah.
So.
But like I said, expectations. I mean, if he was to say that to you when you're first dating, and you say that you don't see anybody, you don't see yourself marrying that person,
right?
Well, then automatically, obviously, there's, if the end goal is to get married, then there's no point in continuing on the relationship. But I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know that I see that right now, but that's not to say that couldn't happen. But there's no way to present that to the other person without them feeling like they're not good enough or something's not right.
Right. I think that there's, I don't know. I have some thoughts.
You do?
I do. So Lacey and I just had a previous conversation, and I've told her about this before. We're like, I have this post that I've been working on for a while where, like, I'm trying to, like, figure it out in my head of, like, when you enter into a business agreement with somebody, you have a business contract. And you both have, Lacey's like laughing right now, but you both have different things that you are going to bring to the table, that you have an agreement that, like, you are going to continue to bring those to the table. And, you know, everything's laid out. It's clear. It's concise. I feel like when you start a relationship with somebody and it's starting to get serious, like, you should draw up a relationship contract. And it should be one of those things where it's like, here's all the things that made me want to buy into this relationship. I expect those things to continue. And it should be on, like, both sides. Whereas, like, for me, it's physical affection. Like, if you buy me in with the fact that you're physically affectionate, I expect that to continue versus, like, 6 months down the road when suddenly you're like, I'm just not a very affectionate person. Because then I'd be like, I call bullshit, because when we started out, like, you couldn't keep your hands off me. Mm-hmm. It's things like that. Or, like, if I'm putting out all the time, and, like, that's one of the reasons why you want to get into this relationship with me, because you're like, she has a really high sex drive. And then 6 months down the road, and I'm just like, I actually don't really like sex. Like, you're going to feel tricked.
Right.
So I would rather just, like, put those things out there. And I feel like you don't have to promise somebody that you're going to marry them right away. Like, because that's bullshit. Like, nobody knows what's going to happen. But I think having that clarity and expectation of, like, it might be something that I want if things with us go well. Instead of, like, I've been in relationships where, like, I've had that conversation with them before, like, as things are getting serious. And I'm just like, listen, like, I'm not asking for promises, but, like, these are things that I want in my life. Do you want them as well? And I've had guys be like, well, I'm open to that. And then later on, like, then they kind of, like, fess up that, like, they don't ever want to get married. They don't ever really want to have kids. And it's like, I just wasted 6 months of my life with somebody who sold me on something they had no intention of ever, like, having in their life. And granted, those are the guys that, like, have not gotten engaged. They, you know, they stayed true to their word. But then you've had, yeah. So then you have those, like, then there's a lot of resentment and there's anger and, like, you feel tricked. And, like, I would just rather that people just be upfront about that stuff, where it's like, it's a possibility. Is it a possibility with you? That remains to be seen.
Yeah. But not everybody's going to operate on that level. So obviously the person that you want to be with needs to be able to operate.
Yes.
In that capacity.
They need to be good at communication.
Do you like to talk?
Shut up. Nope. I'm quiet as a lamb. Okay. Very demure. Mm. Very passive.
That's like describing me as sweet, shy, and innocent.
Perfect. As either of us, yeah.
God.
Have you ever been in situations where you feel like you've been, like, shy?
Because
you're pretty good about, like, sitting down anywhere and being able to chat.
See, and that's funny to me, because people think that, like, because I am good at, I mean, my job is to basically present people and figure out what people want. And, right. Like, you know, interior design, furniture, sales, all that stuff. Like, so I'm good at starting a conversation with somebody if I look at it as a business thing or a sales thing. But the minute that it comes to the idea of, I'm attracted to you, you look nice, I like your face, I'm like, boo.
Oh my God, yeah.
And I feel very awkward, and then I'm not good at, like, emotions or, like, talking about my feelings.
Right.
Which is where I think a lot of issues have come in with Party Boy Jay as well, is that he and I are so similar, and that nobody wants to say anything that you're thinking for fear of rejection or anything like that, that just nothing ever gets said unless we're drunk and being stupid. Right. And then you're not sure if it's off the cuff or if it's like, yes, I absolutely feel this way. So, yes. I'm a good communicator when it comes to work.
Right.
And, I have no problem talking to people that I like. You've seen me. I can pretty much strike up a conversation with any person.
Yeah.
The minute it gets to be anything that's more than surface level, I'm like, well.
I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah. Get it away.
Yeah. See, and I think I'm better at like getting deeper into feelings and conversation versus like the initial like flirt fest. Like I have noticed about myself that like I'm not good. If I like you, if I'm attracted to you, like it's like Stonewall.
Yeah.
Because like I just feel like the minute I smile at you or look at you, you're gonna be like, she wants me.
See, initial flirt fest, I got down. Like, I'm very good at luring them in. It's just, like, keeping them on the line. That's a real issue.
Yeah. I want to run scared and just be like, don't look at me. I'm working on it, though. Like, my friendship with you has definitely encouraged me to, like, I'll never forget the one time that we were at the bar, at the bar, and there was a really cute guy, and I remember saying something to you about him, and you're like, well, then smile at him. Like, oh, is that how you do it?
Yes.
I think I'm so used to it. Like, and this is one thing that I'm moving in about a week and a half back to Minneapolis. And this is something that I'm not necessarily looking forward to, is that I think I've become so trained from being in Minneapolis where, like, nobody makes eye contact with anybody.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like, flirting.
That's true. It's like, weird for me when I go out there.
It's so weird. And, like, so, like, we'll just, like, pretend like each other don't, like, the other person doesn't exist. And then the next day you'll read a missing connections about, like, saw you at the bar, you're super cute, hope you can go out for a coffee sometime. And it's like, why can't we just say hello to people?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm super used to that versus, like, going out to LA and New York where, like, guys are, like, I don't know if it's like a Midwestern thing where like, and we've talked about this too, where I think we both do very well in Ireland, or we both do very well in New York, because like I go out to New York and it's like, this guy's looking at me, this guy's saying hello to me, this guy's talking to me, and the same with LA, where it's like I go out and like you're getting all these like assertive signals.
Sure.
And then you go to Minneapolis and you're like, apparently guys in Minneapolis like find me incredibly loathsome and repulsive.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I think that's interesting, though, because, like, if you think about going out here, the guy that is assertive to you and comes and talks to you, I mean, it makes us feel weird.
It does.
It's a weird thing because it's so rare.
So unusual.
But, I mean, I think that's where the party boy types for me come into play as well, because
I
enjoy a man who is assertive.
Yeah.
I like somebody that knows they have going on.
And that, I think,
But that is a slippery slope because that leads to arrogance and cockiness. There's a difference, and I know there's a difference between like self-assurance and like knowing what you're about, but it's that fine line of like, are you self-assured or are you just a giant dick?
It's hard to find that one who like, stays on one side and doesn't go on the other. But I think that's like super true where like, so my male situation this summer came out of that same thing where it's like he literally approached me in a coffee shop and we ended up having this like long conversation. And that's very refreshing. Is like, I think it, for me, it feels so rare to be like, oh, this guy likes me. Like I can tell like he's attracted to me because I feel like it happens so rarely that like it's one of those things where it's like you can't really trust that instinct. Mm-hmm. But it is that thing where it's like I feel like the minute a guy, like, approaches me or talks to me, it's just, like, that attraction factor goes up, like, 50% because nobody else does that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And I think, you just miss the people that are attracted to you because they don't come and say anything to you. And I'm becoming more – actually, my friendship with Troy has made me a lot more aware of, like, how men look at me or look at other women in general because he is a person – even, you know, Wednesday night we're at the casino – and this is typical Troy speak, so it sounds really bad. But this guy walks past, he goes, that guy wants to give it to you. I look at him, I'm like, no, he doesn't. He didn't say anything. He goes, no, he looked at you. The guy wants to give it to you.
Yeah.
Okay. But he just makes me, like, more aware of the idea of there are men all the time. But here, you have to kind of, you have to at least give them a signal that you're going to be approachable.
Yes.
And that's why you got to fucking smile, Amber Carter.
I know. Well, Party Boy Jay called me out on that one night, too, where he's just like, you don't even know. Like, you're so intimidating. You're so unapproachable. And I hate that. Mm-hmm. It really pisses me off when people say intimidating because, like, I have seen guys cross entire crowded rooms to go talk to the girl that they want to talk to.
Right.
So, like, I don't fucking buy that. But I do think that, like, because of the way that I'm reacting, and again, like, I feel like, well, he has to know that I'm attracted to him because it's like he's super hot and super attractive. So he has to know that. So like, I don't want to like seem too obvious. So I don't do anything.
Right.
So I need to get better at like at least giving some eye contact.
Yeah. I don't think it's intimidation. I think it's being approachable.
I've heard that a lot too. Anyways, Carrie Taylor.
Cross your arms, smile, look around the room.
I don't cross my arms. Not when I'm like standing in a at a party or at a bar and I'm just like standing there with my arms crossed and like staring at people. I just like, I'm focused on my friends. I'll glance around. I'll like purposely not make eye contact with
you. Exactly. Room, and but that's why it's funny to me when Deputy made fun of you on Saturday night and told you to smile and you got pissed because you're doing that
I
thing.
Don't like that though.
I know you don't like that thing, but it's the thing of like, you're standing there and he and I are talking and this is a perfect opportunity for you to scan the room, make some eye contact.
Well, I did.
Smile. He didn't see that. But you don't, I think you're smiling on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna bring it out.
But yes. And I know what he was getting at, and I know that he wasn't trying to be the guy who's like, smile. But like, and I explained to him like why I don't like that. It's like we can get into a whole thesis about like the sexism and gender identification of like wanting women to smile so that you're more comfortable with them around you or whatever, that they're like fitting that female stereotype and whatever. But also it's one of those things too where it's like this is going to come off as like so defensive. I don't like when people tell me to smile. I don't like them when they tell me to wave my arms in the air. I don't like them.
I don't
like
when people expect me to do things because I'm not going to do it. Just wondering if that feels like a little pot and kettle for you.
But if I don't feel like smiling, I don't want to smile. Like, I don't want to, like, put on a show and, like, dance for you just because,
well,
like, you want me
and
to.
That is totally fine, princess. Yeah. But. No, and I think he came out of a place of that he wanted to make sure my friend was having a good time because he was monopolizing my time.
Yes, and which I could have brought that up too, but I just kept my mouth shut. Where it is that thing where it's just like, he's a nice guy and he's fine, but it is that thing of like, you guys are having a conversation. Like, I'm not involved in this conversation. So you guys just keep talking. You don't have to worry about me. Like, I'll just like, I'm most of the time, if I go to a party or an event or even at the bar, like I am probably at my most happiest when like I can just stand there and observe, whether it's like watching everybody else or it's watching the TV or whatever. Like, I noticed this one other night that we were out, and I don't know if it was G-Rant. It must have been G-Rant. And it was like Bring It On 2 was on the TV. And I was like mesmerized because I had never seen it. And I was just like, this looks effing awesome. And like he kept bugging me to like talk and like do stuff. And I'm just like, I am perfectly content. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm feeling like I'm a wallflower, if I'm feeling uncomfortable, or if I'm like being quiet because I don't know what to say, like I'll leave. Like I'm a grown ass woman. Like I can take myself out of that situation if I'm uncomfortable.
Right.
But if I'm observing and like watching, like I'm usually perfectly content. If I want to talk, I will. So I think like it comes into that thing of like, I'm not uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable with what I'm doing because somehow like it makes you feel like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing or that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
But there's not a lot of people that go out either that are comfortable just doing their own thing.
Right.
And so people are worried that you're not enjoying yourself and they want everybody to have a good time.
Pretty vocal about when I'm not enjoying myself, though.
That's factual. That is a factual
statement. I will
let
everybody know if I'm not having a good time.
It's true. I've learned over the years.
Yep. I mean, you can trust me.
I've got it.
So today we're going to Applefest in Bayfield, which I'm very excited about.
It's going to be cold.
It'll be cold. So it's supposed to snow tomorrow, which I am effing pissed about, but I am also delighted that I am moving 2 hours south where the shit doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, it just stops snowing completely in Minneapolis. It's great.
It doesn't snow on October 1st, though.
It's like a bubble over there.
It's surprisingly more mild than you would think, I feel like.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. When I was dating professor in Minneapolis, and I was staying at his place,
professor.
I don't know what else to call him. I mean, there's a lot of really bad things we could call him.
But his official working title.
Right.
Yeah.
But I remember the weather. I can't believe we're talking about the weather right now.
Let's just go with it.
Anyways, I remember the roads being super shitty multiple times. And like 1 weekend I stayed there and we got snowed in completely.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not that it's not shitty. I mean, my last winter there was snow apocalypse, where like it was just like it freaking snowed like every day. We had snow emergency at least once a week. The only way that I got through it was that I lived in Uptown and I almost never used my car. I walked everywhere. So the only time I really had to like worry about it was when I had to move my car for snow emergencies, which was still bullshit. But I don't know. It's getting wearing on me to like have a weekend where it's 80 degrees and sunny and then 2 days later have it so cold that I have to dig out my winter jacket. And I know that that's not just up here. It's global warming, and we don't need to talk about that stuff. But, yeah. So, I'm excited to be in a little bit more milder of a climate.
Everybody, good life choices about weather.
That's right. I have gotten to the age where, like, I'm making my life choices based on the weather, which, like, I never... I built up enough street cred from living in the Midwest for most of my waking life. Mm-hmm. So like I've suffered through my share of winters, and I feel like now it's time to like cash in and be like, you know what? I don't give a shit about four seasons. Like I love fall, mm-hmm. but everything else, like I don't care. And like I can look at pictures of autumn leaves on the internet and be like, it's fall. Pumpkin spice latte comes to California just as much as it comes here. So
that's funny.
Yeah. So yeah.
See, I'm not looking forward to it.
I know, but you can just come down to the cities all the time and visit me.
Perfect, I love it. And as long as it's not a snowpocalypse and I can't get there.
Yeah, that would suck.
By the way, I'm supposed to fly somewhere on October 16th, so you can expect a huge snowstorm.
Yay!
Because well, not a that snowstorm, is, but that is what happens.
Every and you're time flying out of the cities.
Yeah,
you can come visit me before you fly out.
It's literally the day after you moved.
Oh, that's true.
So no.
Well, when you come back.
Well, yeah, that'll be a week later, so.
Yeah. What day are you going
to
come back?
21st, I fly back. I got to see what time my flight comes on now.
Maybe you could take off the 22nd and come to my Nerd Night presentation.
Your what?
I'm doing my Nerd Night presentation.
That's not what I thought you said. Okay, Nerd Night.
So about a year ago, there's this thing called Nerd Night Duluth. And so I went there and I presented a talk called You're Okay, I'm Okay, How to Find Love and Support for Those Who Love Vampires That Sparkle in the Sun Like Diamonds. And I had presented a version of this talk at Ignite Minneapolis, which is like this presentation night where your talk can only last like 5 minutes, I believe. Mm-hmm. And like they're quick, they're fast paced, whatever. And like it's really hard to get into. I blew it at Ignite Minneapolis. Like I got up to the podium and I had this weird like panic attack. Like all of a sudden, like I couldn't catch my breath. I like my body started shaking. And I think it was the time constraint of just like, I got to do this. I got to get through it right now. If I watch the video, like I've never seen myself react that way before.
Weird.
Yeah. Like you can literally hear my voice shaking. My friend Dave's so nice. He's like, you seem maybe a little nervous. And I was like, I had like a full blown panic attack. So, but then I kind of promised myself, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to redeem myself and present this again, but do it in a way that like I'm really proud of. And so Nerd Night Duluth gave me that opportunity. It was one of the best nights of my life. Like I just listened to the presentation a couple days ago and I still am just like, that was awesome. Like that was not that my talk was awesome, but like the experience was really awesome. So then I was like super excited about Nerd Night Duluth. And I think Jeremy was moving back down to the cities. And so we had talked about like, how can I help you get a Nerd Night Twin Cities started? And so like I had like connected him with a bunch of different people, including my ex-boyfriend, because that was when I was in one of my like, you know what? I'm going to do a good thing here. Like I'm just going to be unselfish and gracious and like...
No good deed goes unpunished.
Right. Oh, as you will hear. So, because I'm just like, you know, he is in charge of a really great event. Like he has a lot of different resources. Like I think this would be something that he would really enjoy. So I was just like... Go talk to him. You don't need to tell him that like I gave him or gave you his name. So, and I don't know what really happened with that. Like, I think they either tried to do an event and it just wouldn't like come together, or they did and it wasn't like the attendance that they were hoping for. So the minute that I announced on Twitter that I was moving back, Jeremy contacted me and he's just like, we just started talking. And I remember saying to him, I'm like, now that I'm in the Twin Cities, like I'd really love to help with Nerd Night. TC, because like I love that event and I want to see it become an awesome thing. So he asked me to present at the one in October, and I said I would. And it's going to be at the venue where my ex-boyfriend is in charge of, so I will also be seeing him that night. So that's going to be awesome. And so, but I'm going to present the same. At first, I was like, I want to do the same one because I want it to be one of the, because it's so fun to do and like. Again, like I wanted to kind of just like redo it so I felt good about it again of like, because a lot of the people had seen the Ignite one. Not that I need to like prove myself or whatever, but I'm just like, I just want to do it again in a way that like I'm happy with. So, but it didn't feel timely because the last movie came out last year. Mm-hmm. So then I was working on one about The Bachelor, about things that you can learn but probably shouldn't learn about love from The Bachelor. But, like, I kept working on that, and I'm like, you know, I really still want to do this Twilight one. And then news came out that day that they're releasing 5 short Twilight-based films. So I'm like, oh, we're fucking doing it. So, yeah, so October 22nd at the Mall of Theaters at the Mall of America, I will be presenting at Nerd Night Duluth. And I think that you should go. I think you should take that night off of work, and then you can meet all of my Twin Cities friends, and it can be amazing. And there will be boys there.
Well, yeah, I'll just have to figure out, because I fly back the 21st, so...
That was, like, a really long story for, like, an invitation.
It was. But, I mean, how do you say no now without feeling like a total dick?
Exactly.
So come to my thing, and I didn't do it right the first time, but now come this, because the second time's going to be way better than the first time.
Yep. I did tell Jeremy, too. I'm like, you know, the side benefit of the fact that, like, this is going to be the first time that I'll see the ex is going to be really good for, like, getting people there. I'm, like, telling my friends and being like, I need you to be there. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fine. Like, I'm over it. Like, it's weird that all this stuff is, like, coming up again with him.
Right.
But it's, like, I'm over it. I've made peace with it. Like, I've learned a lot from it. Like, I feel like I've become, like, a much different, happier, better person from it and, like, after it. So it's just more of just, like, figuring out, like how they're going to react. Like, is he going to be friendly? So then should I be friendly? Is it going to be cold? So then I should, like, be prepared to be cold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, we ended things in what I thought was, like, a mutually respectful, friendly way. And then all of a sudden he just, like, became really cold and kind of cruel. And so, and I was, like, pissed because I'm, like, now I have to be angry about this. So it's just, like, that, like, unexpected, like, right. Anticipation of, like, I don't know how to react because I don't know how you're going to react. And, like, yeah. And I'm not naturally, like, a rude, cold person. So, like, I'm afraid that I'm going to, like, walk in and be all friendly and then he's going to be, like, a dick.
Yeah, but so. Who cares? I would rather walk in and be friendly and have him be a dick than me be.
I'd rather be a dick and just be like, fuck you.
Yeah. Those vengeful feelings.
I don't really know if I have vengeful feelings anymore. That would be a choice that I am proud of making for myself. It's just like, maybe. I don't know. Whatever. It's so complicated that it's stupid. So it's not even worth really talking about it, even though we've probably talked about it a billion times since we began this podcast. But welcome to my romantic life, everybody. So, yeah. So what are...
Why are you laughing at me?
Because I have a question I want to ask. So what do you, so we talked about this a little bit earlier, but let's talk about as we're wrapping up. So at the end of every podcast, I ask each guest, like, what do you think has been one of the best choices that you've made in your life? And what do you think, I am kind of like playing with the idea of asking like what's been the worst choice, except that that always ends up becoming like a good one. You know what I mean? So like, let's talk about that.
best choice I've made. Shoot. Well, my best choice was to choose to back out of my wedding and not get married when I was 22.
Yeah.
That was definitely the best choice.
I'd maybe agree with that.
It was such a bad situation, and I didn't know enough about myself to be able to do things like that, so. Yeah.
You always think you do, though. Like, right. I remember, like, being 21 and 22 and being like, I got this. Like, I got it all figured out, people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the little did I know that I was clinging so tightly to everything I had because I had no control over anything.
Yeah.
That it wasn't even worth really doing. But, yeah, that was probably the best choice I've made. Because now I have the freedom to literally do whatever I want. Am I using that freedom? Not necessarily, but goddamn it, it's there.
I think you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel like you're not using it?
Well, I only wonder if I'm not using it in that it's a weird thing when you grow up in this area and then you come back and you end up like working and living in this area and making a life of it. So at my age, it's like I'm weirdly successful for the area that I live in.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't necessarily count as being successful because I didn't live somewhere else and travel.
Gotcha.
And maybe that's just my own hang up. I don't know that that's necessarily true.
Yeah.
But it's like success doesn't count if you found it right where you started.
Right. I think I always say that that's really interesting because I remember having like the same struggles when I was in my 20s too, where like I went to England, I went to India, and then I got into this relationship And, like, kind of the whole reason, like, it broke down was because, like, I knew I wanted more. Where, like, he wanted to stay in his small town and just kind of, like, build a life there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, like, I want to, like, move to New York. I want to, like, travel. And then we broke up and things happened, like, tragedy happened. And then I still didn't do those things. So then I remember, like, being in my later 20s and being like, I didn't do any of the stuff that, like, I fought so hard to be able to do. Mm-hmm. But I also think, too, that I think it's good to, like, move to different places and experience different things, and especially, like, travel. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like with you, I think it could be interesting if, like, you focused more on, like, the traveling aspect of, like, going overseas and doing all these other mm-hmm. things. Because I think there's nothing wrong with, like, staying close to home because it's what makes you happy, but right. still being able to, like, go right. to other places. Because I think one of the things that travel makes so interesting is that a lot of times it makes you value exactly where you're at, mm-hmm. you know? Absolutely. Like, going to India, I was just like, I will never move outside of America, except I will. But it was one of those things where it's just like, nope, I'm great.
Yeah, I definitely felt that way when I came back too. But yeah, I think it's just a matter of deciding what would make me feel like I was successful.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I have that defined for myself.
Right.
So if I defined it for myself, and then maybe it is okay to be here. And maybe it's just the other parts of my life that I think aren't going to fall into place if I stay here.
Yeah.
But is it really worth gauging a move or doing that kind of thing based on those little things? Or can you have all the things that you want in one place without totally uprooting your life? Nobody knows.
I think that that is, like, the biggest question about living here too. Mm-hmm. That I think, like, you and myself and Jennifer, we all struggle with that a lot. This place is weird. Like, I feel like it becomes a safety net because, like, your parents are close, my parents are close. So I feel like it always, there's that safety net of, like, I can always come back. Mm-hmm. And I definitely, like, have run away to here a couple of times in my life. But I also feel like it sucks you in a way of, like, it's very seductive in the beginning because it's beautiful and, like, everybody knows your name and, like, you feel like you have all these, like, different, like, it's like small town America, mm-hmm. the small town that people dream about. Like, I go into Anglers and, like, Dan's like, how is your mom? Like, all this other stuff mm-hmm. where, like, it's very comforting.
Oh yeah.
But then I think it's much different if you're married and you have a family here mm-hmm. versus, like, being single and, like, wanting to have that aspect in your life too. Like, it's a bleak landscape for trying to find that.
You either got to transplant somebody.
Yeah.
And I think too, like, a little bit different perspective just because I literally grew up here.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been here almost my whole life.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Small town.
It's a small town. And it shouldn't... That's the thing that I find so interesting, though, is that, like, but we have so many people who come in all the time. Like, there's mm-hmm. always new people who are either coming up here for the summer or they're coming in for the weekend. So, like, you feel like, and I've met people here before. Like, right. I've met people here who have been here on the weekend or are working in the summer at a resort or whatever. But I don't know. It just, for me at least, like, it just gets really heavy here and it gets really bleak and it's, I just feel like it's not enough.
Yeah.
For me to, like, make a life here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get into trouble because I get bored. So, yeah.
Well, that would sum up Barry and me very well.
Oh. All right. Well, we are about at an hour. So we should wrap up. Lacey, thanks for being on the podcast.
You're very welcome.
I know I kind of hounded you about it. I'm like, you're going to be on it before I move.
And I did it. I fulfilled my commitments.
You did, and it was amazing.
Hooray.
Did you have fun?
I did, yeah. Okay. It was easier than I thought.
If you would have said no, I would have been really upset with you. I'm just kidding. I hate it. I'm never going to do this again. No, it was awesome. So, yeah, so we're headed to Applefest, and people who don't know what that is, it is a festival in Bayfield that is about apples, surprisingly enough.
We're big on festivals.
We are. Like,
we got
that
a rutabaga festival. Mm, we got
which
a
I have
bluegill,
never been to.
We got a muskie.
Yeah.
Cranberries.
It's fall fest. We have, like, two fall fests.
We'll just celebrate, like, everything that we everything. Ever possibly could.
But that's the thing about being up here is, like, mm-hmm. it can be a little boring. So, like, people create festivals
around rutabagas. Dear God.
So around the Rutabaga Festival, we're getting off topic, but I don't care because it's my podcast. I went on to the tourism website for Cumberland, and like we have both had our own experiences with Cumberland. Like, yeah. I spent quite some time in Cumberland before in my 20s. But it was funny because there's that saying called Hayward, Hurley, and Hell. Or is it Hurley, Hayward, and Hell? Hurley, Hayward, and Hell, which harkens back to the old logging days when, like, literally the town was, like, lined with bars and brothels because it was a logging town. And, like, when the loggers got leave, like, they wanted women and they wanted to drink. And Hurley was the same way. But so I went on to the Cumberland tourist site and somebody had changed it to Hayward, Hurley, Cumberland, and Hell. Like, that doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't work.
I know. And I'm like, everybody knows you're lying.
She doesn't even go here.
Like, so dumb. I'm like, who thought that was a good idea? Of like, and like, why would you want to like buy in to like that reputation?
Right.
Yeah. Because like my old apartment on Main Street, like there's bullet holes in it. Like, yeah, it was a rough town. And like, I don't know. I don't know if they thought like it would make Cumberland more romantic because sorry, everybody who lives in Cumberland, you are probably all really nice people, but Cumberland to me is a shithole. So I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for saying that. Yeah.
I mean, the name of the town itself kind of speaks for it.
Oh my God. Barron is the worst. I feel like anytime you go, Bruce, sorry, everybody who doesn't know about the small towns in Wisconsin, but I feel like Bruce is really tiny, but outlying it is really pretty. Ladysmith is effing ugly.
Yeah.
Like, I think the closer that you get to Highway 8, the more, like, it's so just kind of gross. Like, one of my mom's friends from Red Wing, she used to tell me a saying where she's like, never date above 8. And it was like, never date on 8. Like, guys up here, like, if you can find a good one, like, they're handsome, they're rugged, they're awesome. But, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
8 is bleak. Rice Lake. Ugh.
It's true.
There's, like, no prettifying as, even down by the river. No. Like, there's no pretty fine aspect of Rice Lake at all. And it's Rice Lake. Like, that's the name.
There's, like, one cool section of the neighborhood that's beautiful old houses.
But. Yes. Like, when you get to, the, like, the leafy neighborhoods, mm-hmm. like, I think that's pretty. But, yeah. I just remember I've talked to, I don't know what nickname we should come up with him, but the guy who owns a store down in Rice Lake. We've talked about it at length where I'm, like, when I lived there, like, I kind of hated it. Like, it's so, yeah. There's no beauty to it. So now we're going to Bayfield, which is gloriously beautiful.
It is.
And we're going to do
northern exposure.
Mm-hmm. It, literally. Yeah.
Like, I hope I see a moose today.
You know, they're supposed to be back.
Or the elk. I saw that.
And the elk are supposed to be back,
oh,
too.
God.
Yeah.
That's what I'll hit next.
Yeah. Poor I Kia. Feel like if I was going to stay in the Northwoods, I would move to Bayfield.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of wish.
It's even freaking colder.
Yeah. I know, but like Washburn and Bayfield are so pretty.
They are.
And you're like right on the lake. I'll never forget that, though. Like, I know I told you this story before, too, but, like, when I told, I'm just going to call him Mr. B. When I told him that I was moving, he's like, what about Duluth? The whole reason why you moved here from Duluth was because it was 20 degrees colder. And I'm literally telling you right now that I'm moving down to Minneapolis because I'm tired of the weather up here. And you're trying to convince me to move to Duluth?
That guy's not very perceptive.
He asked me if Barry and I used to date. He's flaming. Are you kidding? I don't have the right parts, but you might. Maybe.
Yeah. Anyways, he's going to listen to this and be mad that I mentioned him. So.
Ain't nobody got time for. Oh, sorry.
Oops. No, that's fine.
Yeah, but I have to see him again. You don't.
I know. Well, yeah. Yep. Anyways, I think. Okay, we're going to try to say this quickly because we are at an hour. I had a conversation this other weekend with someone like him where like he made a point about dating me and feeling like he would get talked about or written about or like tweeted about. And I get a little bit irritated when guys bring that up. And it's kind of like that whole like English major thing of like, are you going to write about me in your book?
You're like Taylor Swift. I just realized.
That's not the first time I've gotten that. But I don't need names. You know what I mean?
I know,
like,
but
yeah, like I write about boys and feelings. And like
she's going to write a song about you.
I'm going to write a story about him. I don't need names. And like, I know she doesn't either. But like, I get irritated and I get resentful. Because number one, don't flatter yourself. Like, I'm not going to talk about you unless, like, I want to. So, like, because I remember dating one guy who assumed that every post was about him. And he's like, well, that was about me, wasn't it? And I was like, no, it had nothing to do with you. And I wanted to kind of be like, I don't like you enough to write about you. But that would have been mean. But I just feel like, number one, don't flatter yourself. Number two, like, I'm pretty good at, like, keeping the privacy line of, like, I may talk about a situation that involves you. Nobody will ever know it's you. But also, like, I also kind of feel like it's the buy-in, too, where it's, like, you know who you're dating. Right. Like, I write, I blog, now I podcast. And I don't know.
But that's why he's saying maybe he shouldn't date you.
Maybe he shouldn't then. Like, yeah, I don't know. I need to figure it out. I do like Anne Lamott's quote that I just saw the other day where she's like, you own everything that happens to you. Write about your experiences. If people didn't want you to write about them, then they shouldn't have behaved so badly. Right. And like, I'm not going to be, I try not to be vindictive in my writing about relationships and stuff too. Well, he brought that up where he's like, you've written about a couple of things this summer. And I'm like, about guys that I don't like. Like, I'm not having relationships with those people. Like, those relationships are over. Mm-hmm. And I think that I've been pretty, with the exception of that one Tinder date, I think I've been pretty fair and balanced and pretty kind in, like, my writings about Jay the Young and other experiences. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I don't know. It's one of those things that, like, I just get irritated with, where it's like, why don't we talk about this if there's actually something to talk about? So, anyways, it was a whole tangent that maybe I didn't need to get on. But, yeah, it's about making choices about what you want to write about and what you don't, Lacey, and who you want to write about and who you don't.
I'm sorry, Taylor. It's fine.
That's not going to go away anytime soon.
I know.
I can't believe I didn't make that connection until right now.
I can't believe you didn't either.
I'm going to call that a lot. Meredith.
Can't wait. I'll start wearing a shirt that says, no, it's Betsy. I love that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to, like...
We are never, ever, ever getting back together.
Never. Never, ever. Nope. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, like, what that line is. Because I think I hide a lot of my life from the blog, whereas, like, I feel like 10 years ago I didn't. I would just talk about everything. And I feel like now, like, I'm pretty private. Like, the Summer of Suck post, that all happened, like, 2 months ago. You know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily, like, in the moment.
But it was also something that resonated just correlatively with you. It wasn't about anybody else around you. Or, like, the relationships you were having with the people around you.
Right. But, like, I've mentioned you in a couple of posts. Like, have you ever gotten upset about that?
Well, no, because it's in reference to, like, us having a conversation or something that was corely about you, not me. I mean, if you were to start to reference, like, Party Boy Jay and, like, talk about things that I've talked about my feelings and stuff like that, and then I would be upset.
Yeah.
But it's conversations that I've had with you, about you, for you, where that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, whatever. It's all about growth, Lacey.
It's
all, about getting better.
I feel better now.
About making better choices for our lives. Not really, but whatever. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us for Making Good Choices. I'm Amber Carter. Thank you, Lacey Klamer, for joining me. Woo-hoo. And we will see you later. Make good choices, everybody. Make good choices with your life.